This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Hello, Zach.
Hello, gentlemen.
What are you up to this morning? You're up early. It was like 7:30 you were texting me.
Yeah, I actually am working on some stuff. One thing I think that I know you don't read much, but one thing that I think people will like, and during this time, like, I've kind of made peace with the circumstances, but it's still hard for me to get motivated. So I have to pick out windows, like, get your big ass out of bed and start doing stuff. Right. So it's kind of a self-motivation thing at this point.
Okay. I'll take it. This is Zach Jackson, the A to Z podcast. Join us on the show. Follow him on Twitter at Akron Jackson. So you did hear what Chris Sims said. And I'm not going to say what you texted me. You can go ahead and say if you want to say it. Go ahead.
It's just not rooted in truth. I was driving to get caffeine, and I couldn't believe. Now, I understand you guys got a lot of hours to fill, and there's no sports going on. But, that was the time that the Seahawks were going through a retooling, and really everybody thought they were going to go through a little bit of a rebuild until Russell got hot and got them to the playoffs and really took that next step. It was, exactly a year before he got that mega contract, but he earned that from them. And although I completely believe that somewhere in the negotiation it got nasty and they said, we'll trade you to Cleveland, or I completely believe that John Schneider and John Dorsey talked at one point. I mean, they worked together with the Packers. Yeah. It just wasn't going to be real. Dorsey was always taking Baker Mayfield. And as we know here in Cleveland, there was the whole thing where the Seahawks were spotted at Josh Allen's pro day. And, those things get way overblown. So there was probably a point of contention, but they were never trading Russell Wilson, nor were the Browns making that trade. I mean, not that it matters anyway, but I just was like, oh my gosh, this is really something. And all of the things we're reaching to talk about, this is at the top of the list.
Well, that's even to me, and going back in history, that's even more interesting to me than the snippet itself. So are you saying that, say, John Schneider would have really, like, hey, I'll trade you Russell Wilson for number one overall. John Dorsey would have said, no, we're good?
I'm just saying that that's not a conversation that would have happened. You tweeted your whole timeline from then, which made me chuckle. But look at how much false information was out there attached to people who don't generally dabble in false information.
Oh, 99% of it's false.
I mean, Dorsey took the smokescreen so far that year. He knew he was taking Baker Mayfield, but at the Senior Bowl, he avoided being within 100 yards of Baker Mayfield because he didn't want anybody, any mom-and-pop website or anybody with a Twitter account to see him anywhere near Baker Mayfield. That was the level of espionage. And then when they went on that trip, they went and visited all four guys equally, where they took the owners and the whole crew and, ended up meeting the parents and going to the private workouts and all of that stuff. When Hugh told the hee-hee story about Baker, they also went to Wyoming and they spent days in L.A. with the other guys. So, the level there, like I said, do I completely believe that a name got tossed around? Yeah, but it was never, ever, ever going to happen on either side.
Zach, do we know the purpose? I mean, looking back, I know it's just kind of fun to go over the old stories. What was the reason John Dorsey was so paranoid about people being able to link him to Baker? Is it because the Browns were also sitting there with another early first-round pick?
Yeah, but it also is because it was new. And so, you know, the guys he trusted were Highsmith and Wolf, right? But everybody else was new, and he just kept stressing that he did not want to cloud anyone else's evaluation of anything. And he thought that Baker was so much better than Darnold. And they never considered Josh Allen, by the way. He thought Baker was so much better than Darnold that it was his kind of way of judging everyone else's opinion. And really, when it came out to it, Alonzo Highsmith has conceded that he had Darnold number one throughout the process until they met Baker, and then he was on board. But Dorsey just said he wanted universal consensus, and that was also his way of evaluating the evaluators through the process, as they kind of, you know, made sure that they arrived on that. And then when they arrived on that, they weren't really budging. Remember, it didn't come out until the morning of the draft, right? So they did a good job with whatever the intent was. But the intent was, you know, to let the process go through as cleanly and as unbiased as possible.
All right, Zach Jackson is our guest. Any surprise that Antonio Callaway didn't work out in Cleveland and now could be the downfall of somebody who was a Rhodes Scholar?
I did. I actually heard Daryl yesterday on the update mention that. You know, when you draft guys like that, you prepare for the consequences. You know, I remember two things about Antonio Callaway. I remember the rookie minicamp when he came in, you know, saying, looking at reporters and saying, I'm from the worst of the worst, like just admitting he had seen some stuff and whatever. But I also remember hearing from the Bengals that they weren't drafting until the seventh round. And when they're not drafting a guy until the seventh round, the red flags are pretty red.
Zach, I know that obviously Dorsey was known for taking some risks and everything, but are you at all surprised that here we are, on to the next regime again, and yet, not that these were risky guys, so to speak, but it's still a continuation from Dorsey that two guys that were getting essentially were benched at the end of the year, they were healthy scratches, are back with the team and in the team's plans. That normally doesn't happen.
Well, I wouldn't say in the team's plans for one of them. I mean, it's a minimum contract signed after the draft, after you drafted another receiver, right? I do think there's a little bit there of, hey, we want to give these guys another chance because we want to show what a cluster last year was. But I just think it's each case you look at it from its individual, you know, merits or warts or whatever. And with Njoku, there's a tight end shortage in the league. He's still 23 years old. Yeah, he had a lost season, but he was always a developmental guy. They have him for this year, and they committed to next year for now. It's not fully guaranteed. You know, they have hired two of his replacements, but they keep saying they like him, and I think they're trying to motivate him. And I think the option for next year is $6.5 million, that should be pretty good motivation. So, you know, if we would have had this conversation in January, I would have said there's a chance they move on from those guys. But I just don't think there was a trade that made sense for them to get anything decent in return for Njoku. So they said, well, let's see this through and see if we can develop him. And then with that option, they actually still could trade him next year. You know, or he could play well and be around. And if Stefanski likes tight ends that we've been made to believe, then they'll keep getting tight ends. So we'll see how that works out. I don't actually believe they'll pay $17 million to two tight ends in a year, but you know, at the core of it, I'm not surprised that he's back.
What about Myles Garrett? Are they willing to give him an extension right now?
I don't know on the timing, Ken, and that is a good question, but he's going to get extended. You know, it might be in a month. They might want to see him play. You know, he might want to have a big year and think that he could get even more guaranteed money after the year. But what is today? Mid-May. Yeah, between now and mid-February, it's coming, and it's going to be probably bigger than Khalil Max. So I just, you know, the circumstances would have to be almost as wild as last year's, frankly, for that to not happen.
I want to ask you something league-wide. Mike Tomlin, a couple of days ago, maybe last week, I'm not sure of the timeline, but he griped about things not being equitable because, you know, there's facilities that might be able to open up on Friday, tomorrow, and there's facilities in certain states that aren't. Mike Tomlin makes that opinion known. A couple of days later, the NFL goes out there and they says, you know what, we're going to keep the facilities, we're going to keep the virtual off-season program going until the end of May. You've always said this, and this has been true in a lot of ways, that, yeah, all the owners, yeah, 1/32nd, but there's certain owners that carry more weight than some of the other ones. Is this the NFL doing a solid for the Roonies here?
No, I think it's more of why we're having this conversation to start with and that we need something to talk about. Like,
well, hell.
The players are not allowed in the facilities anywhere. So with the draft over, does it really matter if the GMs and the coaches and the graphic design people are in the building or if they're working from home? So the interesting thing there, Ken, is when they first closed the facilities and then it was like, absolutely, guys, this is non-negotiable. This isn't 8 or 10 or 20 people. This is closed. The memo said none will reopen until they can all reopen. And then as further statements have come out, that has kind of disappeared. Mm-hmm. But the virtual off-season program, as far as the players and the actual football work, the only thing anybody on the outside would care about, that was always going to go on. The players entering the facilities is still well down the road. Now, maybe it's only a month down the road, and obviously we hope that that can go on because there's going to need to be a lot of hurdles cleared as they get closer and closer to training camp, which is, you know, 10 weeks from right now. But that is, you know, in nowhere in this phase where the player is going to be allowed back in Pittsburgh and Cleveland or anywhere else.
Okay.
Zach, what are you hearing from either your Ohio State people or, quite frankly, anybody around the state of Ohio about college football and how that might look, how a schedule would look, logistics, fans, any of that?
Yeah, not a ton. I do know a couple of college coaches locally, but I have not flat out asked them that. And one of them, you know, I really probably haven't talked to since early in the process when nobody really knew anything. You know, I would guess, just based on talking to people, that the back half of June is when decisions have to be made on opening campuses or not. And I think that will be a huge factor. But, you know, I really don't know any more than anything else.
Yeah,
you know, just
Zach,
trying to think of the last. Go ahead.
Zach, let's say, sorry to jump all over you, but say that we could just assume, just for the sake of this discussion, that Ohio State is doing virtual learning come fall semester. They're on semesters now. So what does that look like? What changes do they have to make? Can they still have a season? Does it go to the Board of Trustees? Does it go to the president? Does it go to the Big Ten? Who's
to? If you read the headlines, they say no campus, no play, right? But even this week when, what was it, the state schools in California, the Fresno State, San Jose State, San Diego State, even when they came out and said, we're not going to be open, well, there were immediate clarifications. Well, there's going to be some programs online, and we're going to leave the door open for football. So I don't have an answer right now, and I don't think anyone else does either.
Because we talked to – even Terry Peluto was talking about how much of a revenue generator it is for most schools. And they're still – I mean, they're still businesses. As much as they – you know, they're state-funded institutions and this, that, and the other, they're still going to operate as a business. And I'm sure there's got to be people in these border regions. Oh, wait a minute. We already offer online classes to this percent of the student body. Is this still possible? We can have football here and do this.
Yeah, no, I think you're right in that, Ken. I think anything, and even high school football, you know, if schools start to open and even if they get some sort of clearance, I mean, there's just so many levels of government and of clearance and of questions to answer. And obviously at the lower levels, you're not going to have the kind of testing that we think it's going to take for the NFL to have training camp, right? Mm-hmm. You know, guys, Kent State plays Kentucky, Penn State, and Alabama this year, non-conference. They make about $4 million from those games. And without those $4 million, Kent State doesn't have athletics. So this is really important decisions to be made, but I don't know, you know, how that will go.
All right, Zach, 11 Warriors had that poll question yesterday. I don't know if you saw it. Whether or not 2014 or 2002 stand out more for Ohio State fans. I know you're just a journalist, but if you had to weigh in, both are amazing stories. Which would you take?
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Gosh, think about Maurice Claret versus Ezekiel Elliott, right? that's a good question. You know, the 0-2 team, the defense was the first defense in history, right, to get every starter drafted. You know, I think now there might have been more name talent because those guys are fresher in our mind, and you think about Bosa and those guys. That's interesting. I mean, 14, they lost the second game of the year and still came back and won it and had to go through three QBs. So I would probably lean there, but I really don't want Dustin calling me this morning for that or any other reason. So.
Well, final one for me. Is this make or break for Baker Mayfield? Like, say they go like 7-9 and he's so-so, are we talking about other quarterbacks next year?
Wow, it's almost like you're reading my article from later this morning.
Well, I mean, you know, hell, what do you want from me, Zach? I got nothing else to do. Fine, I'll decide to read your garb. No, it's not garbage. It's great writing. I wanted to go that far.
For the sake of us having 30 seconds left in the segment and for you wanting people to listen, it is. It's much deeper than that, and it's never on one person. And he is under contract for at least one more year, even if he bombs this year. But, yeah, I mean, when you look at the theme of the offseason, the way they've surrounded him, and the things they got to know as they go forward, you can safely say that. You can't completely accurately say that, but that's not a stretch. That's way less of a stretch than the Browns were going to trade for Russell Wilson, right? That's like, I mean – you have to have the quarterback, and you have to trust the quarterback to be efficient and be the leader and make, you know, X number of throws over the course of the season that help you get on to the next series, the next week, the next level of playoffs, right? And he had a really exciting year that probably got people excited prematurely, and then he had a really bad year that probably has people writing him off prematurely. So those two things meet. Make or break sounds pretty fair to me.
We're up against
Burrow
it now,
or
I don't know.
Burrow or Baker?
10 seconds.
Go.
Oh, I mean, it's not even close right now in terms of who I would take. One, the guy who's not the other one in any regard, but I've been wrong before.
The guy who's not the other one in any regard. What does that mean?
What?
Yes. The best thing you could say about Joe Burrow is he's not Baker Mayfield.
Oh, my God. Fine. Goodbye.
What does that mean?
You would know what that means, Anthony. We all know what it means.
I don't know what it means.
There's no baggage. There's no everything is about the chip on the shoulder and how great. He's just a kid from Athens, man.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Zach. Stop it. He's an LSU Tiger. Zach, thank you for the time. He just laughed and hung up the phone. He just laughed. Was he Elliot Offen? What was he doing?
Like the Joker.
The segment brought to you by Window Nation. Shop online at windownation.com. Zach Jackson appearing on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I got one thing to say about that, and then also, what's the point of winning a championship if they're not going to let me celebrate that damn thing? It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima live on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.